So I was born in 1969, which was 1 year after Martin Luther King Jr. was killed, and 6 years after he gave his famous I Have a Dream speech at the 1963 March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. So my learning about the African American civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s has all been second or third or nth hand. I remember once that my dad made us watch a PBS special on Martin Luther King Jr. That TV show and seeing Alex Haley's Roots series in elementary school shaped part of my education around race and racism. Somehow, though I don't exactly remember how, I also learned about Rosa Parks, the 1956 Montgomery bus boycott, and how that event all started the civil rights movement. Boy, was I mad in college when that miseducation was revealed. A 15-year-old African-American boy from Chicago who was brutally tortured and murdered in the summer of 1955, 1.5 years before the bus boycott. His mother insisted on a public funeral service with an open casket so that the whole world could see the disfigurement of her son's body. These events, considered pivotal in motivating the civil rights movement, helped to bring out into the open the lynching and killing of black men and boys. Oh, and guess what? Emmett's murderers were acquitted. Sound familiar? These days I'm wondering, is Trayvon Martin the Emmett Till of the 2010s? Will Trayvon Martin, specifically, will his death and the acquittal of his killing has to happen in order for our society to move towards more racial equity? At a conference in nearby Illinois, I was tentatively optimistic. I didn't know anything about the Unitarian Universalist group Allies for Racial Equity, or AR, but I was intrigued by the title of the conference, Cultural Humility, Developing Intercultural Competency. And I have, I still have the program from the workshop if you want to see it, and I'm wearing my name tag from the workshop. And in your order of service, there's a website about R where you can get more information about the organization. Now, I've been to many a workshop on racial justice, so I knew that I needed more from a conference than yet another 101 class on prejudice plus power equals racism. Thankfully, my needs were more than met, and I came away from the conference with numerous nuggets. I'll delve into one in particular and then share briefly some others that are memorable. So the first nugget. We learned at the conference about Milton Bennett's developmental model of intercultural sensitivity. It's kind of a mouthful, so I'll say it again. Developmental model of intercultural sensitivity. There's no way I can explain all the details of what I learned in 2 days in 5 minutes. So, and actually Reverend Marlene kind of breezed through the model several months ago. But from a bird's eye view, I can tell you this. Much like we learn to crawl before we learn to walk, and we learn to walk before we learn to run, we have developed lines. So what I needed to learn at age 3 or 4 was that the world was not made up of people just like Karin. In fact, there were differences between me and my friend Sarah, whose family was Catholic. But once I learned that there were differences between me and everyone else, I also had to learn that we had similar or universal commonalities, like having families and homes. Kind of like how our message for all ages underscored that we are the same, but different. But then in college, when I spent a semester on the historically black campus of Howard University, I learned even more about being a member of a privileged or oppressing class. And celebration. This also was a developmental stage, and life did not allow me to stop there. My identities and my various groups' contributions are more complex than that. Eventually, I've had to let go of the shame of being white so that I could move out of being paralyzed and into a place of being curious, of being flexible, even of being uncomfortable, basically moving into a place of having an increased tolerance for ambiguity. So the first nugget, we're all on the path depending on where we are. So one size does not fit all when it comes to working for racial equity. What George Zimmerman needs looks very different from what Barack Obama needs. And me, well, I'm definitely still on the journey. There were many other explorations I really enjoyed from the R conference. For example, one congregations and how those pieces of our identities impact the way music is incorporated into our Unitarian Universalist communities. I also went to a workshop in which we explored ways we can embody anti-racism in our worship services. Unfortunately, there were no easy answers. Rather, quite appropriately, we were reminded to engage authentic curiosity, to encourage ongoing conversations, and to acknowledge the complexity of life. Finally, I went to a workshop on creating intercultural coalitions. This attracted me since I'm active in our own congregation's work with MOSES, a local interfaith coalition that exists to create a greater good. And that workshop is where I was reminded that my own spiritual liberation is tightly woven into the fabric of any social justice work I strive to do. Overall, I'm grateful that I got to be in a UU setting when digging into such vulnerable topics. I'm grateful for the UU principles and the worship services that grounded the weekend, and I'm grateful for all the nuggets I'm still digesting. Ultimately, I'm grateful for the insight that we are all somewhere on the path of intercultural competency, though we have different needs. I believe it's a path with pivotal events. It's a path towards a more justice-filled future, and it includes spiritual liberation for all.
Isn't she amazing?
Isn't she amazing?
In contrast, in the subject and liable to make stupid mistakes. As long as I'm doing community service of some sort, what if my passion is something else worthwhile? For example, I'm passionate about the intersection of food with people and animals. So in things like healthy eating, farm and food worker justice, and animal rights. I asked this question of a black activist friend of mine, and he looked at me dumbfounded and said, "Everyone should work on racial justice. This is because I've always enjoyed making a connection with strangers I meet. Anyone. But when it comes to black people, I know there is a gulf between us, and there is this unhappy feeling that it's supposed to stay that way. I remember when I moved down to Louisiana when I was 16. This was in 1976. And actually, it now occurs to me, I'm not trying to say the South is different. I mean, it's different, but Well, no, that's a whole nother conversation. It's, yeah. Anyway. And I quickly learned outside of class that we were not supposed to be friends. I learned this not from other whites, but from her black friends. And it was unspoken, but it was clear from body language and the occasional shove. The gulf started then and has continued through my life. Since joining this congregation, I've had just enough exposure for opportunities to do social justice and the need for it that I decided I would like to work to do something in this area. The message I got from people in the know was, you need to work on yourself first. And to be honest, I reacted negatively to that because I wanted and I realized that's not doing anything. In fact, it seemed like a cop-out, so I wanted to do something. But following the advice of people in the know, I bought some books. The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander was selected by the Unitarian Universalist Association as its common read last year. There's nothing like deciding to lead a book group discussion, which Jim Dew and I did, to finally get me to crack open a book. And if there's ever a worldview-changing book, that's it. I mean, if you want to become totally jaw-dropping shocked and have your world turned upside down, read this book. And it will also make you grieve. Then Karin and I went to this Allies for Racial Equity conference in March, where we learned about the different stages that people are in when it comes to interacting across cultures. I also got an understanding of a few phrases I'd heard bandied about the last few years, like white privilege, which means unearned advantages that benefit whites by virtue of their skin color in a racist society. Like reading The New Jim Crow, this also caused a shift in my worldview. Suddenly, I could see every event in my life through the filter of white privilege. For example, all the billboards and commercials and news programs showing white faces when it's a happy and wealthy topic, and black faces when it's about poverty or crime. The assumption at the grocery store that my check is good, that my credit card will clear. The assumption by strangers that I'm not going to harm anyone regardless of what I'm wearing or what I'm listening to, and that I'm not carrying a weapon. A few weeks ago, I got on the bus and discovered I'd lost my bus pass. Just bring your pass next time. I wondered, what if I'd been a person of color? Probably the best example of all of white privilege is that I can choose to ignore it and race issues altogether. Karin asked me to summarize in one sentence what I got out of the ARE conference, and this is it. I realized that working on myself is doing something, and I now know what that work needs to be and how to get started. What is it I need to do? One thing is to, I'm going to now say a paragraph I deleted earlier, so it's just going to be in my head. But one thing I learned I need to do is learn about history of people of color. And again, I was reluctant to do this, but I got this book called The Soul of Black Folk by W.E.B. Du Bois, written in 1903 about... Well, I'm only on chapter 3, so I'm only up to the Reconstruction after slavery ended. And when I first, I had a hard time cracking the book open. I was like, well, what's it got to do with right now? But I cracked it open, and, you know, of course, it's amazing. And but I was kind of really impressed with what happened after slavery, and they dismantled this. I mean, they dismantled this whole economic system, and then they had to rebuild from scratch, and it was just a catastrophe all around, and then doing this, you know. But it kind of reminds me of, it does have relevance for today. For example, we've got a lot of economic structures that could be rebuilt, like our healthcare system or the prison. things. So actually, there, as not surprisingly, there's a lot we can learn from history. Anyway, back to the script. So the Allies for Racial Equity website gives a lot of resources. They have these accountability guidelines right there that give enough challenges for a lifetime of work. And they also list resources for books, articles, and films. There's a handout with definitions, like what white privilege is. And there's one on these stages of multicultural development for both individuals and institutions. And there's a great many opportunities here in Madison to both learn and do. And I would like to do well of interest here. And if any of you are interested to jump in at any point along the way, stay tuned, because there will be many events and opportunities coming up in the next few years. And speaking of opportunities, in order to keep the conversation going and to keep this congregation healthy, we need all types of gifts. And the gift of your presence here today is one type, and monetary gifts are another type. We appreciate any and all gifts you give for the ongoing work of this community.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Until the killing of black men, black mothers, is as important as the killing of white men. We believe in freedom cannot rest. Touches me most is that I had a chance to work with people, passing on to others that which was passed on to me. They have the courage where we fail. And if I can but shed some light as they carry us through the gate. We who believe in freedom cannot fail. Secrets of the young who dare to run against the storm. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. Not needing to clutch for power, not needing the light just to shine on me. against tyranny. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until they are.